Kalinowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Happy Wednesday. We made it. Midway through the week, hump day, and we're back at it. 800-222-5222 is the number here in the Sweet James Studios. Sam at samnation.com is the email. Well, they're predictably. The craziness from the mainstream media has not abated. And I'm going to take it apart for you here, step by step. Now, there have been a number of strange and interesting people who've been making the rounds on various talk shows and coming up, I think, for different explanations for why Trump is wrong. Of course, going back to the press conferences, now two infamous press conferences behind Trump, one on Saturday and then one on Tuesday. So what happened was you've got people now throughout the media and they are I am beyond myself about this. This is I normally don't start with clips, but this I want to go straight to the sound bites. Because on New Day Today with Chris Cuomo on CNN, there's a Georgetown professor, and this guy's name's Michael Eric Dyson. And there are people actually saying this on CNN, and it's going unchallenged because we want to start here, and then let's take this thing apart.
To equate the violence in reaction against bigotry with the bigotry itself is to misunderstand the fact that when you go to cancer treatment, the radiation is tough treatment, but it is meant to remove the cancer. So what he fails to understand, and what the president especially fails to understand, is that you are complicit with the worst currents of bigotry in this country when you try to draw a false equivalence between secessionists and racists and Confederate defenders and bigots and neo-Nazis and African-American and white people and others who have defended the right of this nation to really seek a path of healing beyond the consternation we see now.
Now, I guess what is being said here is that the path to healing in this country comes at the end of a billy club, okay, and a 2x4. The difference that has, and I've been talking about this all week, the difference has to be, the separation has to be between words, thoughts, and action. So this guy is actually saying, I think a number of people, the logical leap here isn't far. Let me explain this. The logical leap isn't far between saying, hey, if you're treating one side differently from the other, if you are looking at the anti-Nazi protesters, and you're okay with them beating up the Nazis, the bigots, the horrible people that are waving KKK flags, that it's kind of okay. See, the issue here when we're talking about moral equivalency. It's not about moral equivalency at all. It's about legal equivalency. There's absolutely nothing legally different from, I guess, a Nazi beating up a communist than the other way around. It's not. It's an assault and battery. It's murder if a death results. And I'm absolutely blown. I remember the quote, and this was in the New York Times. I mentioned this on Monday. There was a guy, Jeff Winder, who punched the organizer of the Saturday rally in Charlottesville. He went up to him and he punched him. The guy's name is Jason Kessler. And Winder, you remember what he said? He said that Kessler's been bringing hate to our town and months, endangering lives of people. And he says free speech does not protect hate speech. And I, at that time, what I said was, look, this is a dangerous argument to make, because by implication, this means that If somebody's saying something hateful that you think is hateful, that you think is just so beyond the pale, then that person who says that terrible, horrible thing or thinks that terrible, horrible thing is outside the protections of our laws. That can't be true. The law treats assault, battery, and murder the same. It doesn't matter what moral superiority one side has over the other. The perpetrator does not get any special protection because of the moral inferiority, right? The lesser status of the victim. That's what Trump is saying. We'll go through it, but it comes down to the violence. Both sides engaged in violence. And the role of the state, the role of our president and of our leader is to condemn the violence. I don't know how many times Trump has to condemn the racism and the bigotry, and he does over and over again. But the left doesn't want to see it because, you know, and this is the thing that is always very difficult for some of us who dare speak out against, we'll call it the PC culture. The racism smear, the Nazi smear, is a very powerful one. And I remember that. Remember these Podesta, Leon Podesta, the head of Hillary Clinton's campaign. He had some memos leak as part of his, the Russian interference in the campaign or whatever it was. But we had these memos leak where they laid out some strategies. And I remember reading through them, and one of the things that they said in those memos was paint your opponents as a Nazi. Say something like, oh, that really sounds a lot like what Adolf Hitler would say. Because the minute you say that, there's no discussion left. Your opponent is a Nazi. You've ended the discussion. You call somebody a Nazi. You call somebody a bigot. You call someone a racist. And it's over. And that's what's being done to Trump right now. I'm sitting here, I'm just watching various commentators say different crazy things, I saw Don Lemon talking about how we have to call on all people of color and Jews to denounce Trump and not stand with them. I'm listening to this. Do people actually think the dearest thing to Trump in the entire world is his daughter, who converted to Judaism when she married her husband? I don't get it. Do you really actually think that Trump is an anti-Semite? That he's a Nazi? That he's the American reincarnation of Adolf Hitler? It's not a serious argument. And this moral equivalency argument, this is the catchphrase du jour right now. This is what everyone is talking about. And as an attorney, I'm telling you that there's a difference between morality and law. Laws protect all, okay? This is why we don't stone adulterers in this country yet. So we're talking about Trump's press conference that is the onslaught against it is merciless, right? I mean, he's getting crazy. Here's the original statement. Well, let's get back to that, because here is the statement where he was answering a question, and then he said, well, let me ask you this. What about the fact that they came charging, talking about the alt-left people, that they came charging with clubs in their hands, swinging their clubs? Do they have any problem? I think they do. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, that was a horrible day. And then he added this part, and this is what everybody's focusing on.
I will tell you something. I watched those very closely, much more closely than you people watched it. And you have you had a group on one side that was bad, and you had a group on the other side that was also very violent. And nobody wants to say that, but I'll say it right now. You had a group on the other side that came charging in without a permit, and they were very, very violent.
That's it. So they both groups were violent. It's what he's saying. I have no idea how this puts him on in any kind of league of defending Nazis. The law, any prosecutor under the law is going to charge both sides with battery. Now, if you have a hate crime statute and it comes into, and I personally, I have some feelings about hate crime statutes, and it's a separate issue. Go into that sometime. But if there's an applicable law, charge it. But there is no way, there's no possible way that you can accept violence against someone who has a despicable opinion. This is fundamentally un-American. So what happens? What happens if we suddenly decide that it's okay to beat up Nazis? It's okay to beat up Klan members? That it's okay to beat up person X? Then what happens? So let's say that happens. And what happens when that definition, the definition of unacceptable person, of person that is outside of the protection of our laws, what happens when that person, that definition of that group changes? The absolute, I think, historical irony here. The irony is that this is exactly what the Nazis did. The Nazis said it was okay to beat up Jews. It was okay to go after Jewish-owned businesses and break them. They codified into their laws exceptions to their laws that protected other citizens, and carved out basically allowances to perpetrate violence on certain groups of people. And yes, it was absolutely abhorrent. The Holocaust did not happen overnight. It was not a one day to the next type of thing. It happened slowly over time with the ratcheting up of further and greater exceptions to the protections that all citizens enjoyed before the Third Reich. That's it. A great society is one where all people are treated the same. This is just a fundamental truth for me that I cannot shake it. And I'm disgusted, totally disgusted by these mealy-mouthed Republicans out there who are all denouncing Trump over the statement. They're siding with the mainstream media because they're so scared. They're terrified that they're going to get smeared, that they're going to get called Nazis and KKK members. They're weak. They're chickens. They're spineless. And we deserve more. I understand. I understand why the left is going after Trump. If Obama had said the same statement, he would have gotten applauded for it. And that's because he would obviously. There is just, what do you have? You've got a guy who is on the left, and the media will go with anything he says. The media is looking to destroy Trump. Period. Free speech protects hate speech. Okay, we're not the country. Our First Amendment does not carve out hate speech exceptions. We just can't. A hate crime in this country we have, and it's based on physical acts, based on actual physical violence that is done because of a hatred. Because of a protected category or class. I would really hate to see us devolve into a state where we think this type of thing is okay. It's like that Mencken quote. We've got, when it comes to free speech, we've got to defend our scoundrels. We've got to defend the worst among us. And I think there's people out there, and you know it. I mean, if you're a defense attorney, how many times I have colleagues who do this type of work and do it very well. And they will say, they'll tell me, yeah, I'm defending this guy. He's totally guilty. He's a scumbag. But you know what the law guarantees that scumbag? A fair trial. A right to counsel. We don't get to pick and choose who the scumbag is. You know how we determine that? We set a law, and if you break it, you go to trial. And if you're convicted, that's it. You serve a punishment. We must remain a nation of laws. And everything else in this discussion is just noise. It's just political. These are political grenades that are being lobbed at Trump because he's Trump and because people hate him. But it's just total nonsense. Hey, there's a statue in the rotunda or right outside the Senate that is very interesting. It's not coming down, but maybe it should. You know which one I'm talking about? If we're talking about taking down statues. All right, don't go anywhere. I'll tell you which one it is. Back right after this.
News. Talk. Evolve. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC, taking apart here the Trump press conference. More importantly than that, though, I think the sort of oversimplified reaction to it that has everybody talking about moral equivalency and how dare Trump compare the Nazis to the counter protesters. By the way, they're not even called leftists or Antifa or thugs or anything, because they came in there with baseball bats ready to, you know, beat people up. One commentator on CNN went as far as to say that, you know, it's those people that came in there, the counter protesters, it's like radiation for cancer. I mean, he's calling humans, like Americans who fall under the protection of our laws, no matter how despicable their views are, cancer that needs to be physically eradicated. What happened to due process, huh? It's nuts, right? See, the due process clause in the Constitution guarantees all of us some fair and equitable and law-established procedure before we lose, you know, our life and our liberty. So before somebody takes a whack at you, and there has to be some kind of court process or, you know, some sort of adjudication. So the mob justice is fine. It's cool. I mean, isn't mob justice what makes the KKK so repugnant? So now part of this discussion, and it is part of the discussion here, the Confederate statues, because that's what this protest was originally about. Robert E. Lee, there was a statue commemorating him in a park that was formerly named Robert E. Lee Park, then later changed to Emancipation Square. And that was the flashpoint for this protest, this melee that broke out in Charlottesville on Saturday. Now, did you see this this statue in Seattle that's up in a town, in a neighborhood in Seattle? Did you see this? They have, there's a neighborhood in Seattle that is called Fremont, and they have a giant statue of Lenin, Vladimir Lenin, excuse me. And so, look, who is Lenin? Well, besides being the paterfamilias of communism, the most destructive ideology to ever come upon this earth, claimed upwards of 90 million lives, okay, in the 20th century, who starved half of the Ukraine, thug of thugs. They got a statue of him up. And you know what? I cannot believe I'm saying this, but there's something that the group that maintains the statue in Fremont, the community council, there's something that they have written that I actually agree with. They're defending the statue. And it says that art installations outlast politics. The presence of the sculpture has evoked a wide range of responses. If art is supposed to make us feel, not just feel good, then the sculpture is a successful work of art. Well, shoot. See, art isn't just about feeling good. but it's melting snowflakes and leftists all over. I'm inclined to agree with this. I mean, you put art is going to be controversial. History is controversial. There are terrible things and moments in our history. But it's fascinating to me that the flashpoint is Robert E. Lee, who died when? In the 1870? So when we come back, I want to tell you about a guy who died in 1940, who arguably is a way bigger scoundrel than Lee ever was, who has a statue, and wait for it, in the Capitol. Yeah, you don't want to miss this. But this is true. And do you think any leftist? He's a Democrat, of course. So you want to think any leftist is arguing about moving this guy's statue? No chance. That's right. No chance. All right. We got John Wolfe, the newsmaster, up next. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation. I'll be back after the break.
Talk radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation on Talk Radio 790 KBC. Phone number here if you'd like to be on the program, 800-222-5222. sam@samnation.com is my email. And we are talking about Charlottesville, the fallout, Trump's two press conferences, and the cacophony of liberal reactions to it. Also dovetailing into this topic, of course, is the issue here about removing these Confederate statues. And I just was telling you before the break about this very interesting defense of a statue of Lenin in Fremont in Seattle. Now, of course, Seattle is filled to the brim with granola peacenik libs. So you bet they're dancing around and doing whatever they're doing around that cretin, Lenin. But their defense of having a statue to truly an odious, odious human who wrecked, unlike General Lee, havoc in the 20th century, and not the 19th, but well, anyway, whatever. The defense of it is, look, art isn't just supposed to be about inspiring good feelings. It can inspire bad feelings. And if it's inspiring any feelings at all, it's doing its job. And by the way, art outlives politics. So if it's good for the goose, let's make it good for the gander. I'm just saying. And actually, by the way, if you listen long enough and you become a devoted Sam Nation acolyte, you'll realize that I'm pretty consistent. You know, I don't pick ideological positions because it aligns with my views. I always come back. For me, I come back to the law because I'm a lawyer. I come back to the Constitution because I love this country. It's that simple. And sometimes, you know, I look at, for example, what conservative justices do on the court, and you'll hear me criticize it. I'm a civil liberties guy because, in my view, the Constitution says that. And I'm sorry if somebody, and I've already, it's already happened. It happens all the time. One would smear me for being a Nazi because I dare to say that Nazis, even Nazis, deserve protection of our laws. I don't know. I must be living in some crazy parallel universe, which is probably where Trump thinks he is right now. At any rate, part of what makes this thing so silly to me, the statue, controversy, is that sitting in the capital of our nation is a beautiful, marble, larger-than-life statue. It is a tribute to a now-deceased longtime senator named Robert Byrd from West Virginia. Who was he? Remember I told you on Monday he actually was in the Klan in the 40s. He recruited upwards of 150 people to the Klan. Now in the 40s, let me do the quick math. Not long ago. All right. That was not long ago. In my parents' lifetime. Let's put it that way. Okay. So there are people that are alive today that remember or could possibly remember Senator Byrd before he was a senator, before he was a Democratic senator, before he was a Democratic congressman, before he was giving career advice. No joke. I kid you not. Career advice to none other than Hillary Rodham Clinton. Before all that, the people alive today could have been around to witness Bobby Byrd walking around recruiting people to the Klan. Instead, Robert E. Lee died in 1870. At one point, there's some extension of time that occurs that you'd go, look, this is history. So no one on the left is arguing that Bob Byrd's statue should come down right outside the rotunda, outside the Senate chamber. But, all these Confederate statues and, George Washington. And there's people making the argument. Al Sharpton, I saw that. He was on Charlie Rose arguing that, you know, Jefferson's memorial, we might need to take that down or transfer it to private ownership. No joke. This is actually going on. We're living in Crazyville. All right. Don't go anywhere. I've got more here on Sam Nation. Back right after this.
Talk radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Murjofsky, Sam Nation. Proud to stand behind my attorney, my friend, sweet James Bergener. Now, look, if you get hurt in a car accident, if you have something happen to you because of the stupidity of someone else, or maybe even just somebody did something to you on purpose, hurt you, you need a lawyer. And you've got the most important thing, you've got to pick the right lawyer. Sweet James has $400 million in verdicts and settlements that he's obtained for his clients. He's not a referral service. Okay, you want a lawyer that's going to crush the insurance company. If the guy has insurance on the other side, he's going to come in and crush them. Okay, he is the king of Kong of the courtroom. Hire Sweet James. Give him a call. The best thing about him is he's a real guy. He's friendly. He'll talk to you. He'll go through your case with you. He'll help you. And if he can't, he'll give you good advice on what to do and who you should talk to. So make him your first call. 800-881-2021. That's 1-800-881-2021. Don't go to a budget lawyer, right? Get the right lawyer. Make that Sweet James. His website, sweetjames.com. You'll find all the information you need there. All right, Sam Murjofsky, Sam Nation. Back in the Sweet James studios. How many times can I say Sweet James? Sweet James! There, I said it one more time. I had to squeeze it in. Questioning of moral equivalency, about basically, look, if Trump's not condemning, how can he say that the counter protesters are anywhere near as bad as the Nazis and the people with the KKK gear and flags and whatnot? Okay, you've heard the arguments. How can he say that? You know, it's actually, there's almost this cover up in the media that's happening. I noted at least one myself that hasn't been talked about anywhere. There's a reporter, Taylor Lorenz, who was filming at the scene of the crash when she was in the midst of the counter protesters. A reporter for The Hill, right? It's an online publication out of D.C. And she's got her press credentials on. She's a reporter. And as she's filming, one of the counter protesters says, hey, you really can't film this. She goes, I'm media. Of course, is what I do. I have the right to film this. No, you can't film this. And the counter-protester, I'm being really generous, right? The alt-left, some commie Antifa person, whatever it was, okay, thug then proceeds to hit her phone out of her hands and starts beating her up. And the press won't report it, even though one of their own was put in harm's way. Why? Because it doesn't fit their narrative. Shocking when you think about it. Actually not, if you know the press. More concerned with convicting Donald Trump of being a Nazi, of going to bed at night and putting on a little black mustache before he crawls in between the sheets. Jawohl, Melania. Right? I mean, that's what's going on. I don't mean to make light of it, but I had to. No, this is what it is. And so, you know, it's interesting because the argument that I'm hearing another one is that basically violence out there is self-defense, right? It's self-defense against aggressive speech. You know, some of these confrontations that happen, violent confrontations, they're going to go to trial at some point. And this is where the law prevails over your ideology, whatever your ideology is. The law says if you smash someone in the face, who's, by the way, he may be holding a KKK flag, but you smash him in the face with a 2x4 or a baseball bat, you're getting charged with a crime and you're probably going to get convicted. And if that person takes his KKK flag and starts to kind of beat you off of him, right? That's self-defense. But just because he's carrying a flag, wearing an offensive shirt, or chanting the things that they were, by the way, back to this, what they were chanting was horrible, horrible. And it would make my blood boil too. It did when I watched it. Thank goodness. I mean, but you can't hit them. That's a crime. And so there's people, the counter protesters, the so-called good guys. I hate to break it to you, all you MSM people, but they're going to get convicted. Okay, don't go anywhere. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, back right after this.
Talk radio, 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski here, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KABC. Is the hour almost up, guys? The fastest hour in radio just flies by. But we got a caller. Ken, I want to get to you here.
Yeah. How does it feel to be a Nazi sympathizer? And how does it feel to support a guy like Trump who rags about sexual assault, who rips people off at Trump University, who dodged the draft during Vietnam, who is a racist himself and who lies about everything? What happened to the wall? I thought Mexico was going to pay for the wall.
Ken, I got it. Let me respond. You're insane. I don't know how else to put it. You are literally bat crap crazy. You aren't even listening to me. What happens when we put people in a category that we say, okay, these people here, they're okay to beat up. They don't deserve the protection of our laws. And let's say that we define that today as Nazi sympathizers, as Klan members, and you just fill in the blank, whatever horrible, what all the people you don't like. What happens in time when that expands to include other people? What if I'm gonna throw a real curveball at you, Ken? But Ken, I appreciate the call. I got to move on here quickly. But what happens, Ken, when let's say a guy like Trump is all of the things that you say, and he gets to be more powerful and more successful? And his movement decides that people like you, with your opinion, deserve to get beat up. See? It doesn't. The beautiful thing about the Constitution is it doesn't. It really doesn't choose content. It doesn't pick and choose a side when it comes to speech, when it comes to opinions. It doesn't pick a side. It just says we have the freedom to be dumb. We don't have the freedom to hurt people. And where our founders drew the line in the sand, it's got to be drawn somewhere, is, yeah, you can say even very hurtful ideologies, and we have to let those ideologies fail. And I don't know. I don't see a rally. Everybody that saw this rally saw it for who looked at that and goes, wow, I just really want to be one of those cool Nazi guys. waving my flag. Boy, those guys look slick. It's absurd. I like that they have a right to say those crazy... I love the fact that I am able to sit on my computer at home and click a video and see some nasty guy with a long beard who's yelling anti-Semitic absurdities at people. Because that type of disgusting ignorance has to be exposed. And it wouldn't be if we had censorship, would it? But I'm sorry. I will defend anyone, including Nazis, when it comes to civil rights and civil liberties. And that's maybe, again, it's the lawyer in me where I look at the law and I look at our Constitution. And my parents, by the way, came from a place and were born and raised in a country which at the time had no protections. In fact, which chose which group it protected and which group it did not. And they sacrificed tremendous things to get to this country. So Ken, how dare you? How dare you call me a Nazi? Anyway, that's what it is. Just call somebody a Nazi. Discussion's over, right? Whew. All right, let's do this again tomorrow. This was fun. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, over and out.
Talk Radio 790
KABC.